Good evening. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and we'll be reading verses 44 through 46. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can find a Bible in the pew rack in front of you, and you can find this passage on page 819 there. As you turn there, I just want to remind us of where we are in the series. We're going through a series on the parables of Jesus. And in particular, this section of the series is looking at entering into the kingdom of God. Entering into the kingdom of God. That was the theme of last week's parable as well as tonight's. And when you think about that idea of entering into the kingdom of God, perhaps a helpful way to think about it as well is to think about it in terms of salvation. Entering into the kingdom of God means salvation, being brought near to God through the work of Jesus Christ into his kingdom, being brought out of the darkness, kingdom of darkness, and into the kingdom of Christ. So when we think about entering the kingdom of God, think salvation. I think it's helpful in considering these passages. Well, let's read now Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Would you please pray with me? Oh God, we pray tonight that you would restore unto us the joy of our salvation. And we do ask that our joy would be full and complete and that we would see you more clearly and find great delight in you. We pray for your Spirit to open our hearts to speak to us the word that we need this evening. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you if there's anything you've ever thought about that would be so great to have that you would sell everything you have in order to get it. Is there anything that you value so much that you would say, all right, I'm selling the car, the dog, we're getting rid of the house so I can get that? It sounds a little silly, but perhaps there's a certain car you've had your eye on that you've been working toward, one that will make everybody's heads turn when you go down the street. Or perhaps there's something like a particular position that you would like to be in. Perhaps you want to run for the President of the United States and you'll give everything in order to have that position of great honor and power. Or maybe that seems too abstract and too much, or maybe there's some young lady here or some good-looking guy. You say, I would do anything. I would give everything to make that person my husband or my wife. Is there anything that you would sell everything for in order to get that one thing? Well, we'll cut through the chase tonight of what the parables are about. But there is something that's actually worth that. Now, you may go sell everything to go get a car, but please seek your elders before you make that decision. But our parables tonight tell us that there is actually something worth getting rid of everything, selling everything you have in order to obtain it. And that is the kingdom of God. And so these two parables that we have together, they have the same main point, are going to teach us some important things about the kingdom, which we'll hopefully see tonight, and then we'll see what the kingdom is worth, or at least begin to see that. And so let's consider first, the first thing that I think Jesus is teaching us with these parables is that the kingdom of God has great value. It's our first point. The kingdom of God has great value. You read these two parables and you see what they do in order to obtain what they want. And the first parable tells the story of a man who sells everything in order to buy a field. Because in that field is buried treasure. And he wants that treasure, so he buys the field so it can be his legally. And in the second parable, you get the same thing. You get a merchant who does the same thing. He sells everything in order to get a particular pearl. And clearly, what they are going after is something of great value. What compels you? What compels people to go after something that's valuable? You don't have to sell everything. Maybe you want to work towards buying a really nice car or whatever it may be. But what is it that compels you to make the sacrifices in order to go and get that thing? I think for most of us, it's probably the benefits of whatever it is we're looking for. That car goes fast. That car turns people's heads. That car just sounds really good when you turn it on. And I want to be in that car. Now, that's what we want. And so I want to ask the question, when we think about the kingdom of God, what are some of the benefits of the kingdom of God? What would compel this man to go after the treasure, or the merchant to go after the pearl? What would compel you to seek first the kingdom of God? Well, let's consider what happens when one person enters into the kingdom of God. What happens when you enter into the kingdom of God? You're forgiven. You're forgiven of your sins. And then the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not only forgiven, but then his righteousness is given to you. So God looks at you and says, you are righteous. Furthermore, you're adopted into the family of God, and you have fellowship with him, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have God's presence, God with you. And then, of course, we have eternal life. Eternal life that starts even the moment you believe, and it doesn't stop at death. It goes on into eternity. And those are just really scratching the surface of the benefits of entering into the kingdom of God. Because there's a sense in which we won't see its fullness until the final day. You see, there are other benefits that will come. Jesus as king will reign and rule over everything. There will be a day when there's nothing standing between you and God, and the joy that God gives to you now, it will be made full and complete. Think about life today and what keeps you from having full and complete joy today. In the prayer tonight, we've been praying for those who are sick. And there are many who are having other mental issues of depression and other difficulties, financial troubles. You've ever had those? It keeps you from being joyful. And maybe you don't like your job. It's hard or it's difficult. Or maybe life at home is difficult for one reason or another. And you say, you know what, I'm going to forget all about that. I'm going to go turn on the TV. And you turn on the news, and what do you see? There's protests and terrorism. There's a pandemic. Economic uncertainty. And you say, okay, well, I'm just going to go sit by myself. I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to go sit by myself and just spend some time with myself. Because you know what? I'm a great guy. And then you start paying attention to yourself. And then you start thinking about things like, oh, my back is sore because I picked up that box the other day. And I've got a headache. Or you start noticing your aging body. And you're reminded soon enough that death comes for us all. And then you start thinking, how can any of us ever be happy? You see, for the Christian, we know that Jesus promises that he will return. When he does, the kingdom of God will destroy all of that. There will be no more sin or death, no more terror or fear, no more worry or sadness, no more racism or hatred, no more back pain, no more suffering, deep loss. God promises that to those who are in his kingdom. This will come to the child of God. And in that day of judgment, Jesus himself will stand next to his people and be that guarantee that there will be no condemnation for those who are in him. How valuable is the kingdom of God? Verse 44, we see it is quite appropriate that it's called a treasure. The kingdom of God is a treasure. A treasure whose wealth, I think we can say, cannot be measured. The man is not foolish or irrational to sell everything he has in order to go and get that land. The merchant is not making a bad business deal of selling all of his inventory of other precious jewels in order to get the most precious jewel. And so, okay, we read this. That sounds good. Great. Now, where do I go? Where is this field? Where can I go and get the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's not like South Park Mall. I was there the other day and was totally lost, but there was an interactive map where you could push a button and it would show me where all the stores are and say, okay, there I go. And I go and I buy whatever it is I want. It's not like that, because it tells us here in verse 44 that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is hidden. And that's our second point. We'll come back to the first one, but our second point is that the kingdom of God is hidden. Now, you may say, well, I don't know. I guess maybe it was in Jesus' day, but look, I'm here tonight, a Sunday evening worship service. I'm here because I know that the kingdom of God has come. And I know that it's growing. I mean, just consider the mere fact how much distance there is in space and time from first century Jerusalem. And yet here we are worshiping Jesus. The kingdom has come, it is growing, and yet there's a sense in which it remains hidden. Let's go back to when Jesus was, you know, teaching this parable. You know, just consider how people looked at him. When they looked at Jesus, what did they see? They did not see, in their eyes, a king. What they saw was a man who was more or less ordinary. In fact, they began to see him as an outcast and ultimately as a criminal. Not one who belonged in the center of the temple, but rather one who belonged executed hanging on the cross. And that picture of Jesus hanging on the cross is the opposite picture of what we typically think of when we think of a king. And yet, despite what the world saw, what did Jesus say when he begins his ministry? He comes and he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And it was, and it was there, and it began to grow. It did. People started to believe. It may have been secret at first. It may have been quiet and unseen. But from one regenerated heart to another, lives were being redeemed. And one person after another confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the treasure, the kingdom, is hidden from the world. Not everyone sees it. Not everyone sees what it's worth, even if it is still growing and displaying its power. Again, imagine if you were there and you saw Jesus do some of his tremendous miracles, whether it was healing the sick or casting out demons or even raising Lazarus from the dead. How could you see that and not believe what he was saying? It should have been obvious for all who were there. And yet the world was blind to it. And some people did not receive him. That's because the kingdom of God was hidden from them. But you see, that's not just a problem from, 2,000 years ago. It's true today. How many people mock the church? Or maybe we'll ask you, why do you even go? What's the point? What good does it really do for me? What good does going to church really do for the world? Okay, fine. It may be okay for you, but it does nothing for me. And I wonder, though, if anyone that has actually come to know the truth of the salvation in Jesus Christ, could anyone possibly say that? If you only knew what I'm telling you, Jesus came to save sinners, and you're a sinner, and you know it. You're condemned to hell, but if you turn to Christ, who speaks a word of peace to you, be redeemed and have everlasting life, forgiven of your sins, be drawn near to God, how would you not embrace that immediately? The kingdom of God remains hidden from their eyes. Praise be to the Lord that the kingdom of God can be found. That's our third point, that the kingdom is something that can be discovered, but it is something that is done in different ways. We don't always discover the Christ in the same way, do we? And we see that in the differences in these two parables. In the first parable, in verse 44, the kingdom is the treasure is found by surprise. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. The idea, he's strolling through the field and he happens to see something, or maybe he trips over it, or we know he's not looking for it. It's a surprise. You may wonder, why is there treasure in the field in the first place? I don't know if you've ever met anyone who's taken their money and put it in a box or a jar or something and buried it in their backyard or under their mattress because they just don't trust the bank. You and I are not likely to go strolling in a field and just happen upon great treasure today. There's not quite so many people who do that. But this parable works from the lips of Jesus in that time and place, and it helps us to understand because, like a survivalist who wants to drop off a grid, who might bury his wealth in a field, and then he comes back later when he needs it, people in the ancient world would do that sometimes. I've been reading about how people would do this when they knew that they would be under attack from a foreign army. We don't have that experience here in Charlotte, do we? Praise the Lord for that, thankfully. But consider how many times Israel was at war in the Old Testament. Even in the New, they're under the dominion of Rome. The northern kingdom and then eventually the southern kingdom, both were conquered by pagan armies. And so if you're there and you know I'm about to be conquered, well, perhaps I can take my wealth and I can hide it somewhere where nobody will find it. And possibly I can escape, or maybe they'll let me free and I can come back and I'll know where it is and I can have access to it. Well, at least the hope is there, isn't there? I think that's the picture of this treasure being hidden, and whoever hid it is gone. They're out of the picture, and this new person comes. He's not hunting for it. He's not looking to find what this refugee is left behind. He doesn't have a metal detector in one hand and a shovel in the other. He stumbles upon it. An apparent accident, an act of providence. He discovers something he was not looking for. And I wonder how many people in this room that you would say that that was my story of how I came to know the Lord. I was perfectly happy with my life. I didn't need Jesus to come into my life. I wasn't looking for answers. But I stumbled upon him. And I found new life in him. I remember meeting one person whose great passion was boxing. And so he would spend his spare time on YouTube watching boxing videos and clips. Well, there was some guy who uploaded some boxing match, and in the middle of the match, he inserted a gospel presentation. Just stopped boxing in the middle of the punch, and then here comes a gospel presentation. And the man that I met who was watching this video, he didn't turn it off. He just paused and watched it. I guess he was bored or whatever, but it hooked him. It hooked him. And he didn't know what to do about it. So he looks up a church in his city, and he goes there and he talks with the pastor. And in the process, this man is converted. And actually today serves as a deacon in that church. How about that? I was watching boxing. I wasn't looking for Christ, but here I am, a new man. Some people stumble upon the kingdom. But not everybody finds God's kingdom in this way, do we? You look at the second parable, the pearl of great price. It's similar in many ways. But in this one, the merchant doesn't stumble upon the pearl of great value. He goes searching for it. Let's look at these verses again, 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, here's a man who knows quite a bit about pearls. That's his job, right? That's his life. Pearls are something that we know are a precious thing. They can be expensive to buy, and you do it because it's precious and it's valuable. Here we have a man who's an expert in valuable jewelry. But his quest in life is to search for the absolute and very best. The most beautiful, the most wonderful pearl there is. And he finds it. It's worth more than everything else he owns. And surely his trove of pearls were quite valuable, but not like this one. So he sells it all. He sells it all to obtain this one pearl. Again, there are people today who will spend much of their time and energy searching for answers, seeking truth by engaging with all sorts of different disciplines, whether it's yoga or looking through different religions, or perhaps they read philosophy and history and literature to find what is the most precious thing in life. What is this life all about? And we'll hear the claims of Christ. And we'll come to the conclusion that there is nothing else like Jesus and his kingdom. So they leave all behind, and they come to the Lord. They come to faith in that way. There are different ways that we come into the kingdom. There are different ways to enter. And this brings us now to our final point. And I want us to see, it's really the first point all over again. It's the central point of both of these parables, is that the kingdom of God is worth everything. It's worth everything. There's nothing that compares. And just a note, as you look at these parables, we do see that they both, sell and they spend money in order to obtain the treasure and the pearl. Verse 44, the man buys the field. The second parable, in verse 46, the merchant sells all that he has to get the great pearl. I just want you to know, you cannot enter heaven in that way. You cannot buy your place in heaven. And I want to say that these parables are not teaching that. Now, there are many people who think that or hope that, you know, maybe that I can in some way buy my spot in heaven, that if I do enough good deeds, you know, maybe if I do enough good, God will look at me and say, well, he had a pretty good life. Come on in. I remember being struck in 2003 when the billionaire Ted Turner financed a movie called Gods and Generals, and that movie had a special focus on the Christian faith of certain Civil War generals. Now, Ted Turner, as the man who financed the movie, was not a Christian. But he was on record as saying, when being interviewed about this movie, that, you know, if there is a heaven, if God is there, I've just bought a little piece of property by paying for this movie. We look at that and say, what are you thinking? But the reality is that I think many of us often think that way. We often think, you know, if I can do just enough, maybe God will look kindly upon me. You know, we let karma enter into our thinking. I've done bad things. Now God's going to kick me out. Now I'm going to do a good thing. Now God's going to let me in. Perhaps if I do enough religious stuff, if I go to enough Bible studies, and that will secure my key to heaven. But that's not the gospel. One of the things that makes the kingdom of God greater, more beautiful and wonderful than anything else that this world can offer is that you can't actually purchase it. But rather, the King purchases you. The King, Jesus, purchases you. That's what he's doing when he goes to the cross. Romans 3 says that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He pays for us with his own blood. And we simply receive the grace of Christ by faith. So when Jesus is speaking these parables, he is not telling us that somehow, you know, if you go sell your home and you empty your bank account, that's going to buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. The point that he's making is that once you have found the kingdom of heaven, you will give up everything for that kingdom, whatever the cost. The cost of the field, all of your pearls, everything you have, it is worth it in order to gain the kingdom of heaven. Said the word kingdom a lot. You have to know that the kingdom is about Jesus. God who made himself man, who came into the world. And when we look at this parable, I want you to know that it's actually Jesus who is the treasure. It's Jesus who is the great pearl of great price. When you find him, then you found the great pearl. When you find Jesus, you have found the treasure in the field. If you're a Christian tonight, if you've been converted and you are a believer, I just want to ask you, do you know what you have? Do you know what you have? If you do, if you're aware, because sometimes we can forget. We can get overwhelmed by the bad news and the difficulties of our lives, the trials that we have. But if you know what you have, then your heart will always be filled with joy and thanksgiving. And I would say even in times of sorrow and grief, we feel sorrow and grief, and it's right to feel sorrow and grief. But what does the Bible say? Even in our grief, we still have hope. How can hope remain in your greatest times of grief? It's because that treasure is still there. That treasure, it remains yours. How precious is salvation in the Lord Jesus. If you're a Christian, is He the priority in your life? Or do you kind of just line Christ up along with a number of other things that are important to you? I'm not saying you can't have other important things, but is He the priority? Or you can consider it in another way. For the person who has met and knows Jesus Christ, you can lose everything. You can lose everything, but if you've gained Christ, still have joy. In verse 44, do you notice when he goes and sells all that he has, it says he does this in his joy. In joy. I'll tell an illustration as we come to a conclusion here. One of the first times I had the opportunity to visit Uganda, I was being told of these stories of terrible persecution of Idi Amin many years ago now. And there was a village where there were these Ugandan Christians who were gathered up, and they were young. It was basically a youth group, like teenagers, who were gathered up, and they were killed violently by the orders of the man who was there. And the idea, what they were trying to do, what the government was trying to do, was to eradicate the Christians. And the message was, if you are a Christian and if you meet as a church, you will die as well. Here's your example. But you know what happened? As these dear saints were being killed, and none of them survived, they sang hymns. And the rest of the village, who knew that this would happen to them as well, there was revival that broke out. There were even more converts, Christians, because they saw the joy in their dying neighbors. The joy of the martyrs, even as they lost their life. Can you give any more than that? Had the powerful effect of bringing even more people into the kingdom of God. If you know the importance and value of salvation, you'd give everything you have to be with Christ. Perhaps you haven't known Christ yet. This morning it was great to hear the preaching of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Know that you're a sinner. You already know that, but be realistic about your own heart. There's one place you can find forgiveness and salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. Run to Him. Perhaps you've been here and maybe you've never really had to sacrifice much to be a Christian, to belong to Him, and I'm not here to guilt you about that. But I do want to make you aware that there can be a danger of not really knowing what I truly have. And Jesus is teaching us in these two parables that the kingdom of heaven is a treasure that is worth more than anything. It is the best find of your life, and it's a joy to have it. It is worth everything you have. Turn to Christ. Be reminded of the joy of your salvation. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the love that you have for us in Jesus Christ. Help us to see your kingdom. May it not be hidden from our eyes, but would you open our eyes to life that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we find it a joy to belong to you, whatever the cost. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we have our benediction. Now receive the benediction. The love of God the Father, the grace of Christ Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.